In the studio with us right now, the feistiest of all Chicago columnists, Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. Hello, feisty Eric Zorn.
How you doing?
How are you? Everything
I'm
good? You're feisty. You look feisty.
Really feisty, yeah.
I'm afraid for my life.
Really? Yeah. Tell your face that because you don't have the feist going
right now.
Come on.
It's early. It's early in the day. I get feistier and feistier as the day goes on until.
I bet you do.
Finally, in the evenings, I'm just boiling over.
You just returned from a high school reunion,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah. 40th high school reunion.
Congratulations.
It was very fun.
What was that like?
Well, it was, I think, about maybe a quarter of the people from our graduate, we combined, it's from Ann Arbor, Michigan, we combined the high schools there because they're just, you know, fewer and fewer of us want to come to these reunions, I guess.
So oh, is that true?
About,
yeah.
About a quarter of the people who graduated came
out.
And it was really fun. I think the first couple of reunions, like the 10th and the 20th, people are still kind of a little bit worried about where they are in life and how they compare to their peers and how the, you know, the old cliques and the resentments that are still there. But by 40, all that stuff is gone. And you have conversations with people and big hugs with people who, I had a situation where I was talking to a guy and I was thinking he was one of the stars of the football team. And I thought, you know, he thinks that we were used to be friends, but we never spoke in high school. This is the first conversation we have ever had.
So he was one of the proud crowd?
No, he was a good guy. Just it was one of those things where it's like these cliques, these barriers between groups have all broken down now.
But go back to that belief on his behalf that you guys had some sort of a friendship going.
Well, I'm not sure that I think he may have been pretending that, you know, I mean, we just were like, hey, how you doing? Good to see you again.
It's
like, well, you know, we were never friends, you know, but that doesn't matter anymore. I think it mattered at 10, maybe it mattered at 20, but I don't think it matters anymore.
I thought the same. I've talked to other people who went to different high schools who had the same belief that you did, where that first one, the gist of it was to try to impress everybody into believing
I'm doing okay.
Life couldn't be better.
Yeah. Here's my beautiful
married
girlfriend.
To a supermodel. Yes. I got $1 billion a year job. I drive a Ferrari. But then by the second and third one, everybody does become real.
Those start to fade, yeah. And you're trying to prove to people who weren't friends with you or didn't like you that you were cooler than you thought you were or they thought you were. And yeah, so I mean, if I had any advice to give anyone, it's like, if you must skip one, skip the 10th. Don't start skipping them later on.
Right.
Because there were people, our organizing committee, I was talking to them, and they said they were finding people who wouldn't return phone calls or emails, that they're still nursing some painful grudges. And these aren't people who you'd have thought, oh, well, boy, of course, you know, he was a loser. No wonder he doesn't come back. I mean, these are people who are very successful.
But they've moved on. Some people don't want to look back.
They have just moved on, yeah, which is interesting. I found a lot of value in hanging out with all these people who are of our, you know, of my exact same vintage and people who I grew up with and could tell stories, you know, about.
But wouldn't you think, just by nature, and I guess everybody has a narrative in their head, if we watch television shows or go to movies or read books, we like to find out how any story begins, plays out, and ends. But for so many people, they have that attitude of, that was a long time ago. What do I need to see those people again for? But I'm just curious as to where those stories went.
Right. Now, Facebook does help answer some of those questions.
And that's probably why a lot of people don't go to reunions anymore either, because I just know this is going to be our 35th anniversary or
reunion.
Mm-hmm. And I was class president, so I want to know who was on the planning committee, because I don't really want to do
anything.
That's
your job.
I'm not doing it.
You were the president. You have to.
I just wanted to win like Trump did. I don't really care about the role.
It's a big problem. Make big promises that you can't keep.
But with Facebook, we have like every, you know, homecoming at RB High School. We kind of get people together at various locations and bars in the area. So I don't know if anybody's expecting a big 35-year reunion.
Well, the thing is, this was a long weekend. It actually started for me on Friday and went all the way through Sunday afternoon. There were the various events going all the way along. The least fun part was the actual reunion,
the event
banquet
itself.
It was too big. It was too noisy. There were too many people there. I had a number of smaller reunions. On Friday morning, I played golf with a guy who I hadn't seen since graduation.
Really?
And he was like one of my best friends. And we just like went our separate ways. And it was so fun to spend 18 holes yakking with him about both of our lives and stuff. So
and was it comfortable again? Like you just got back and it was like
instantly picked up
where you left off?
Yeah, there's no awkwardness, no like, why weren't we friends after we graduated? Nothing like that.
Will you keep in closer contact with him now that you've reconnected?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah?
I think
good.
So. I mean, I don't think we could be visiting each other's families and stuff, but yeah, I think that we will be, you know, in touch. And it's so easy with messages on Facebook, right, social sure. media, and so on, and like, you know, that kind of thing. So that was really the smaller moments.
Those are always more
lot,
fun, the yeah. less formal.
Yeah.
And a number of us were sort of vowing, like, you know, let's not wait another 10 years for a subset of us to get together again. Because
what was the biggest surprise over the weekend of anything that, or anybody from your childhood?
Ooh, boy, that's a tough question. I guess I would say that to me, the biggest surprise was how well so many of the people were doing.
Oh, good.
Even people who had not been doing that well at 10 and 20, they seemed to really be comfortable in their own skin. And that's the thing that really, I think, happens after this much time is, you know, you're no longer apologetic about not being, you know, who everybody thought you might have been.
Right.
You know, it's like, hey, yeah, I do this. I own a business. I have a pool cleaning business. I'm not ashamed of that. It's a good business. I run a
raising. Because then you start doing what you want to do. You know, as you get older, in high school, you do what you think other people think you should do.
Right.
And then when you grow up and become an adult, you go, I'm going to do what I want to do.
Right.
And then you're happy inside. So
And of course, the other thing to remember with this is it's a self-selecting group. Anytime you go to a big reunion like this, these are the people who feel comfortable enough to come back. You know, if you were to try to assemble
sure.
people who didn't show up for various reasons of maybe feeling alienated, you might get a very different picture. But
you know what was a shock for me? No, my last one was 7 years ago. Yeah, 7 or 8 years ago. The amount of people in my class that were grandparents, but at the same exact time, there were two different couples, one trying to have their first child and one who had just had their first child, were all the exact same age. So some of them were grandparents and some were first time parents.
That's very true. There were a couple of people that one of my best friends from high school had as a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
And some of my other friends have kids in their 30s now. So wow. It's a really big range. We're looking at the guy with a 2-year-old going, really?
Yeah.
You know, seems like a bit much. But yeah, it's a big...
It's whenever God gives you a baby or,
but there's a
you
big
know.
There's a big range. And there, of course, there are also people who've taken really great care of themselves or really fit still. And then there's...
Some are a mess.
And then those of us who are, you know, less
right.
youthful.
And you can't say, look at you, you're a mess. What happened to you? Don't they have mirrors in Ann Arbor, Michigan? What's wrong with you?
Years have been unkind to you. Yeah, you don't say that. So.
I bet a lot of people started working out, like, you know,
oh,
a year
yeah.
beforehand.
No doubt about
I'm
it.
I'm going to do it for the 50th.
Right, that's
so
the
I
year.
Start now.
You got
That'll be
you
your
got
year.
Time.
Eric Zorn is here. He's fit. He's feisty. Are you kidding me? 312-981-7200. Back after this, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
The feisty Eric Zorn is here. Some people were saying that Eric is fresh from his 40th high school reunion, and people are saying, I hated my 40th, will not go to any more. People were still hanging out with their old cliques.
But that's almost inevitable, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean,
why would you do that?
You see your friends from all that long ago, and you don't normally see them, so yeah.
I was really struck by how people were crossing those clique boundaries, and people were, and it's a little bit of pretense, where you just... You sort of pretend like you see somebody like, oh, yeah, we were close.
When
you, both of you know you really weren't, but you have a nice conversation anyway. I didn't find that. People, obviously, you gravitate toward people you know.
Sure.
But I was in a number of conversations that were people with I'd never had conversations
with. I would think,
before,
sure.
So.
And someone else says, went to my 40th 3 years ago, was disturbed by how many friends had become unemployed and were struggling, although many had very good positions. You do run the gamut.
Yeah, there's a mixture of luck stories. You're definitely there. I was dismayed how old everybody looked. walked in, who are these people? And then I caught a look at myself in the mirror and go, who's that guy?
Right.
Who's that guy?
Did you have some kids? I've had this at reunions where I say kids, and now they're considerably older. They put fake names on the name tags just to mess with everybody, because then you go, are you sure that's who you are?
I don't think anyone did. That's a great idea. Next, I'll do that on the 50th. But everyone knows their memory's shot anyway.
Right.
They took our senior picture and
yes.
put it on our
name
tag.
Oh, they did?
Yes,
that's brilliant.
Yeah. I look like Justin Bieber. I have my hair down.
You were pre-Bieber.
That's pre-Bieber. If only there had been YouTube then.
Ah.
I wouldn't be
darn
here
it.
On this radio station.
Oh, darn
I would
it
be
all.
On the networks.
Eric, you have recently written about Rod Blagojevich, talking about rehabilitation for Rod. What do you think?
Well, he's facing resentencing on August 9th last year. So you remember the appellate court overturned, six of the counts? I'm trying to remember the net number now, but a few of the counts that he was convicted of.
And how many years did that shave off?
Well, it hasn't shaved off any years yet. He gets sent back to the trial judge, who clearly had no love for Blagojevich during the trial, for resentencing. And the government argues that these are sort of highly technical overturning the verdict, and essentially it had to do with him trying to sell his Senate seat.
Yeah,
and they argued that the parts that had to do with Valerie Jarrett, he was going to trade an appointment of Valerie Jarrett for a job for him in the cabinet, that was okay, and that was lumped together in the charges with some of the other stuff he was offering and trying to get for the Senate seat. And so when you lump those together, it's okay. So they needed to go back and retry those charges on the Senate seat, mm-hmm. without particular bits of evidence in there. Which is, like I say, it's a fairly technical legal ruling, and the government feels that they could have convicted him again on those same charges without the Valerie Jarrett information, but they didn't decide to retry him, and I'm glad they didn't. I don't want another Blagojevich trial. That's just, you know, that's circus. Unseemly circus. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, he's going back for the thing, but his lawyers say, well, all he was doing was just kind of he was enriching himself. He wasn't enriching himself. He was just trying to advance his political fortunes.
Yeah,
and it was all for political reasons. And he was trying to advance an agenda, and yet he's supposed to be remorseful. And they say, oh, and look how rehabilitated he is. He's playing music in prison and he's tutoring people. And mm-hmm. I have no doubt that he's a model prisoner. I've met the guy a couple times, and he's, you know, and you,
he's
sure
very
you
charismatic he's and really
very
nice. Charismatic,
very, he's very, he's eager to be loved. I'm sure that he's a great prisoner. But it's not really about that. They don't have him in prison because he's a danger. Like, oh, well, we can let him out now. He's not going to, you know, commit crimes on his neighbors. That's not why he's there to be punished. And part of that, it has to be genuine remorse. And he doesn't, you know, and he has to accept that he committed crimes and be remorseful. He's sorry that he got caught.
Sure.
But he's still not willing to admit that these were crimes.
Still and very strict sentence, says, in my opinion.
I was on the right side of the law. And I think that he will, if he is able to figure out some way to tell the court, yeah, I broke the law. I know I broke the law. I know I shouldn't have used my power in this way for my own enrichment. If he's willing to admit that, he may catch a break. If he doesn't, the judge is perfectly entitled to keep him in at 14 years. The idea is obviously not that he's dangerous, but that you have to give these really long sentences to show these politicians that they can't keep abusing their power the way they have been. And
pretty soon, every politician's going to be in jail. There's going to be a politician jail.
Half of our governors.
Well, I know.
Yeah, but Wendy, there was this recent Supreme Court ruling with the governor of Virginia where the Supreme Court gave a lot of latitude to politicians for doing sort of this is not exactly an official act. You can take all kinds of gifts from people and you can arrange meetings. And so, I mean, they really opened the door pretty wide to the behavior that we would find really kind of sleazy. And the Supreme Court said, well, that's just politics. Politics is kind of sleazy. Now, what this doesn't really apply to Blagojevich, because what Blagojevich was bigger. You remember he was like holding up money for children's hospitals and so on, like that, until he got campaign donations. I mean, this, we're going to relive in the next few weeks, as we get closer to the sentencing, we're going to relive the stuff that he did and the stuff, and why we were so disgusted by the abuse of office that Blagojevich.
When he is eventually released, what is your prediction for him? What do you think he'll do?
Well, he'll probably get into motivational speaking.
Do you think is that your guess?
Yeah, that would be my guess. He can get back into politics. People say he can't be real. He can't run for state office anymore, but he could run for Congress if he wanted.
The Jailhouse Rockers will be playing at the Metro.
One of the things is like, I've said this, that if he would agree to move to Hawaii and just be quiet and live there quietly with his wife and, you know, grandkids that are going to show up probably, I would be fine. I kind of wanted to go away, you know, when he's done. I don't want him to be here insisting on his own innocence and telling us that he was on the right side of the law and he's a victim of a system gone wrong and a victim of a prosecutor out of control and so on. He betrayed the trust of the people and he broke the law, and as soon as he admits that and goes with that, then he can talk about redemption. He can talk about what else you can do with your life. But that's kind of my prediction. So anyway,
let's wait and see.
We'll see.
Eric, thank you very much. Welcome back.
Thank you.
From your reunion. He is so feisty. Feistier than ever, I think. We'll take a quick break, then we'll find out what Suzanne Muchen has on today's Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.